Will you please stand? Our epistle lesson this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to this passage of Scripture, as we gather this morning in your Son's name, we ask that you would, by the power of the Holy Spirit, make us more and more into a community of your kingdom. Father, that we might exist for the spread of your glory. God, we don't do this for ourselves. We do it for Jesus and for his sake. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Again, this morning is a special morning for us. We have our ministry fair that will happen immediately between the services. Encourage you to grab a taco, grab some donuts, some coffee, circulate through there, look and see at what all of the different opportunities are for you to get plugged in this year. And because of this day, I wanted to take a just brief break from our sermon series through the book of Romans to celebrate this time together in our life as a church. And in particular, I want to celebrate the many different gifts that God has blessed us with and the call that God has given to us as his disciples to bless other people with those gifts. Now again, we're talking about this Sunday because this is the Sunday where we talk about all of the different opportunities that you have to participate in ministry here at Redeemer. But here's the danger. The danger is that you will go into that courtyard like you go to HEB. And you will choose the goods and services that you think will be most beneficial to you. Friends, the biggest danger that I think Redeemer has as a church is that we will become a purveyor of religious goods and services. I want you to see, if this is your church home, if you're visiting here this morning, you get to listen in on a little family meeting, okay? If this is your church home, I want you to see that you have a role to play. God has put a calling on your life. He has given you gifts for service. Now, we are beginning as a church some 32 years into our history. We are beginning to see a generational shift in our lay leadership. Many of the folks who have led our different teams as a church, many of those folks who have been volunteers for years, for decades, they're starting to age out. Or for a variety of reasons, we need new volunteers. We need new people to step up and lead. And so today, I want to remind us of the reasons we serve in the church. Now, many of you know that prior to coming to Redeemer, I was a church planter. Sarah and I began a church in Southern California that we served for 12 years. If you've ever been a part of a church plant, you know that everybody helps. It's all hands on deck all the time. You're constantly looking around. Is there a chair to set up? Is there a nursery toy to put away? Is there a trailer that we've got to load and haul back and forth each and every Sunday? But as churches grow, or as you join an established church, it becomes a little harder to see. Maybe. I actually think people become a little more oblivious to what the real needs actually are. Haven't you sometimes walked up on Sunday morning and said, wow, these breakfast tacos just magically appear every Sunday? Every week, ministering angels somehow provide bread and wine for us to have communion. Or you might be a little more sophisticated. You might say, well, can't we just hire somebody to do that? Now, ironically, what I have found in more than 20 years of ministry is that the people who say things like that are generally the people who are not giving nearly enough money to the church for us to hire somebody. When you become a member of Redeemer, you promise to support the worship and work of the church to the best of your ability. And that certainly means giving monetarily to the church. But it also means remembering that you are not here at Redeemer to simply take. As an individual, you have joined a body of believers, and each of you has been given a gift by God. Each of you has a talent that God has given to you that you are now called on to give in service to this body. And I want to spend a few minutes with you thinking broadly about why we serve one another, why we bless one another with the gifts of service that God has given all of us. And I want to gather these thoughts into three big buckets, and I want to trace them out of 1 Peter chapter 4. The first big bucket, why do we serve one another? Why don't we just come into this church and enjoy it and then leave? Why do we serve one another? We serve one another because God is making us more and more like Jesus. God is making us more mature. Serving one another is a sure sign of spiritual maturity. You noticed in verse 7 that Peter calls on the church to be self-controlled and sober-minded. And in verse 8, he calls on them to love one another earnestly. Think about those three ideas: self-controlled, sober-minded, loving one another earnestly. Essentially, what Peter is telling the church is to grow up out of selfishness into service. Stop thinking about what people will do for you, and instead cast your eyes about and see how you can serve other people. The goal of our discipleship is that people would look more and more like Jesus. And Jesus came not to serve, or came not to be served, but to serve. He had the heart of a servant. And so, friends, if you have been transformed by the gospel, you also have been given a Christ-like heart of service. And one of the clearest indications that a person has believed the gospel of Jesus is that his selfish desire to be served is overcome with a Christ-like desire to serve. He begins looking for ways that he can serve in the church. In verse 10, the Apostle Peter directly calls on us to serve one another. Folks, you're only going to serve what you can see. And the gospel opens our eyes to see needs that we never saw before. And it changes our hearts so that we have a new compassion and a new willingness to meet those needs. Let me ask you, is that something that you experience? Is that something that has been true of you? Have you begun to notice in you this shift in your own perspective? As the Holy Spirit permeates your character with the effects of the gospel, you will increasingly develop a mindset of serving in every part of your life. It won't just happen here at the church. It'll also happen in your families. It'll also happen in your jobs. But here at the church, you will take great joy in knowing that your service is building up the body of Christ. Friends, the first big bucket that we can see here, the first big reason why we serve in the church is because it's a part of spiritual maturity. As you become more and more like Jesus, you are looking for more and more opportunities to serve. The second bucket that I want you to see out of 1 Peter chapter 4 is that service is also a form of hospitality. And Peter calls on us directly in verse 9 to show hospitality. When God created Adam and Eve, He created them in the image of God. You and I, even after the fall, still bear the image of God. And part of the way that we reflect to our friends and neighbors, that we reflect back to God, that we are created in God's image, is that we practice hospitality because our God is a hospitable God. Friends, God doesn't just tolerate your existence. Did you realize that? Instead, He creates a beautiful world. He calls it good. He puts His creatures into their spaces where they can flourish. Even after the fall, God continued to provide for His creation. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that He sends rain on the just and the unjust. We read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that God inspires and empowers craftsmen and poets and gardeners, not just believers, but even He gifts those who have rejected and rebelled against Him. When the Old Testament prophets try to talk about the new creation, they strain to describe what has been revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. They talk about abundance. They talk about fullness. They talk about joy. They talk about fruitfulness. I mean, they're describing a party half the time. And our hospitable God, in both this world and the next, He calls on you and me to also be hospitable. In fact, it's a requirement if you're going to serve as an officer of the church. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Paul describes an overseer as being above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, and hospitable. And he's not talking about their wives. He's saying you, as men who have been called to serve as elders in the church, you should be hospitable. But it's not just the elders of the church. It's not just the leaders of the church. It's all of us. We see it here in verse 9. We can also see it in Romans chapter 12, verse 13. Paul says to contribute to the needs of the saints, to seek to show hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Oh, friends, I would love for Redeemer to be a stop for angels. I would love for this to be a place that is known not just for our beautiful music, not just for our Reformed theology, not just for our Christian education, but also as a place where we embody the hospitality of God for one another and for our neighbors. Rosaria Butterfield, who many of you know and appreciate, she defines hospitality as simply meeting the stranger and embracing that stranger as a neighbor. And meeting a neighbor, and by God's power, embracing that neighbor as someone who will be part of the family of God. Folks, when we seek to serve and love others here at Redeemer, we are embodying that vision of hospitality. The first big bucket from 1 Peter 4 is that when we serve one another, we are stepping into Christian maturity. We are looking more and more like Jesus. The second big bucket is that we are practicing hospitality. We are imaging back to God who God is toward us. The third bucket that I think helps guide our thinking about serving comes in verse 10. Look again with me at verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. The old Dutch Reformed churches used to describe the Christian life as one of guilt, understanding your guilt from sin, grace, receiving the grace of the gospel, and then gratitude, living out a life of gratitude before the Lord. Guilt, grace, and gratitude. Here at Redeemer, we talk about our four steps of discipleship, the four B's. Believe the gospel every day for the forgiveness of sins. Belong to a committed community of faith. Become more and more the person God intends you to be. And bless. Bless those around you and the world. Verse 10 captures that progression. Peter is writing to those who have already experienced the rescue and the renewal of the gospel. They have been brought from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Once they were no people, now they are part of the people of God. And because they have been part of this committed community of faith, they are becoming the people that God intends them to be. And so here, as he begins to wrap up his letter, he calls on them to bless. Bless others. Bless the world around you. Friends, as a community of God's kingdom for the spread of God's glory, God is at work in us that we might be a blessing to others. Now, I understand this world is broken by sin. I understand the temptation just to retreat, to gather together in a holy huddle, to hit the garage door behind you and never look back. But even though this world is broken by sin, God still loves this world. And we share that love in our communities by living according to God's truth, by compassionately pursuing our neighbor's highest good, by creating beauty wherever God places us. It is through our service, it is through our sacrifice that we embody in this world the world to come. So friends, serving is a sign of our spiritual maturity. It's a way that we image God's own hospitality, and it's a fulfillment of our calling, our identity as members of God's new community. It's how we live in gratitude for the work that God has done for us. Now, I know that this is not the way that we typically talk about volunteering in the church. Too often, somebody like me will stand up here and try to get you to serve out of guilt. And I am sure that over the last 10 years, I've been guilty of that. Sometimes people will catch you and they'll ask you to serve. They'll ask you to volunteer. And the person asking you has fixed you with this kind of desperate, fixed-eyed stare, right? And you're not sure what they'll do if you turn them down. And so you simply say, sure, I'll help out. But is that the kind of servant's heart that God has called us to? Friends, I want us more and more as a congregation to embrace serving in the church, serving in the world as a key element of our discipleship, as a response of gratitude to God for his grace and mercy in our lives. I also want to encourage you to invite other people to walk with you in your serving. Many of you already volunteer in some way in the church. I want you to begin thinking about a new Christian here at Redeemer, or a young Christian, or even just a young person who needs to understand what it looks like to live life in the church. Don't lecture them into volunteering. Don't harangue them into serving. Don't tell them, well, I did my part, and now it's time for you to do yours. Instead, invite them to love God, to love His people in practical and tangible ways. And when you serve in this way, you are doing more than simply assisting in the business of the church. You are embodying the heart of God. You are demonstrating to you and to me, to the world around us, what real, tangible love looks like. You are showing that the gospel has worked its way from something that you simply believe into something that is now shaping who you are, turning you from a consumer into a server. When you do that, you are growing in your discipleship. You are finding ways to bless others with the gifts that God has given to you. Let's pray. Well, Father, we are so eager to begin this new ministry year, to see all of the different things come to fruition that we have been prayerfully planning for, eagerly anticipating. And yet, Lord, we know that it takes many hands both to do the work of the church and to show the love of Christ to the world around us. Father, would you give us eyes to see not just the needs around us, but also the gifts that you have given to us, the skills that you have empowered us with, the love that you have already sown into our hearts because you have loved us to life in Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.